Blog Talk Radio.
Cook, the music is never stopping. I thought it was going to stop, but it did not stop. So I guess, you know, it's on for like probably 20 minutes. What can I say? Anyway, all right. So hi to everybody, and it's a good story, it's a good story. And I am Marcia Casper Cook, and we're going to have a great show today. We have lots of guests on, probably more than we usually have, but this is like a party tonight. But I just, there's a couple little announcements I wanted to make, and I wanted to talk about just one thing. You know, today's September 11th, and it's a day none of us will ever forget. But in memory of all the lost lives, I think as Americans, we go on, and that's why today it's good to have some fun today, but we all remember what had happened on that day, and I doubt any of us that will be on the show will ever forget what happened. In memory of all the lost people, we're going on with the show and have a good time tonight, and we're going to celebrate life. So hi, everybody that's on. I'll tell you who's on right now. Moment. There's one that actually just joined, but I don't know where William is. William Maltese is part one of the hosts, but Bethany, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Everybody meet William and Bethany, and we're all going to have a great party tonight. And okay, before we talk about anything else, maybe we should just talk, or maybe, you know what, I should just say two messages before I forget them. I wrote them down, but I don't need them. Okay, the shows, I'm having a show tomorrow with Bethany, and William is busy with his own show probably, but we're carrying on for a few days during the week, maybe. I don't know yet. So I booked the time. And tomorrow we are having on, after this wonderful romance show that we're having today, we're still going on with romance, but we're having two new authors on. And one of the books is on, it's called Homewreckers. And it's going to be a very interesting, that's Brenda will be on, and also John Emil Augustine will be on. And he has, in his book, is Love Scene from Hell. So what can I tell you about tomorrow's show? But today is today. And then Saturday, we also have, Fran Lewis has a show on Thursday, which is with Peter LaCourt, and it's going to be a great show. He is the producer. He wrote a book, but he also was the producer of Eight is Enough, Cagney and Lacey, Remington Steele. He's really great. So he'll be on with Fran and Sandra Elrod. And let's see. Oh, Saturday, AD Children's Show, Doing Great. It's on. And William, you might want to hear this. It's on like at 7 in the morning for your time, I think. So if you want to get up at 7 in the morning. It's 10 o'clock Eastern. So anyway, that's a good show for the kids. It, you know, it's a short show, and stories are being read by J.D. and Christy, and they have always great guests on. So that's the week's lineup. So tonight we're going to have, like, a great time. I'm going to introduce Bethany and William. They are my co-hosts tonight, and Kathy Barton is here, too. I actually am having Kathy Barton was also going to co-host, but I want her to meet everybody. She's from World Castle. And I wanted to meet a lot of the people that I know because she writes like a book every 5 seconds. So, and I mean that. And I literally mean that. Okay. All right, William, tell everybody a little bit about yourself. We probably can't fit it in because he has 200 books. Go ahead.
Yeah, look.
But look, there's really not much. Not too much I can say. I've just been around for a long, long time, and I've written a lot of books. I have written over 200. And for anybody who's really interested, all you really have to do is just go to Amazon.com. I'm about the only William. I am the only William Maltese on there, and just pull up
there's
my page.
There's not another
on
one.
There.
No other one. Ah, just one. Okay.
One of a kind.
Yeah, well, there's only one there. If you Google, you'll end up with a biochemist. I think it's the only other William Maltese out there. He's a biochemist, but I don't know. I don't think he's on Amazon.com. So.
I met you a couple years ago.
I'm a chemist, William. So maybe our paths will cross.
That's Cindy. Cindy Cromer. Okay.
Cindy
right.
Cromer, sorry.
Okay. All right. Bethany, tell everybody who you are.
I am Bethany Croft. I write for Rebel Inc. I have two stories out September 17th and another one for Halloween. So
and
all with Rebel.
That's good. Okay. And you are always with me. You're helping me here. And she actually urged me to do two. Yes, you are a partner in crime. Two romance books, and I've got two little small short stories, and I'm going on with my third, and it's been fun, and I might have a good time, and everybody can find me. I just made it really easy now because it's MarciaCasperCook.com, and everything is on there, World of Ink, everything, and Virginia is my partner in World of Ink, and she has great shows. And she'll be on in a couple weeks. Again, we had a show Friday, and we always have a good time together. And hi, Virginia, if you're going to listen, hello. Okay, and now we're going to introduce some of the people that were here. Okay, Kathy, I want you to – hi, Kathy, how are you?
Hello there. How are
okay.
you, Marcia?
I'm good. Kathy's on my show a couple times, and we never get to talk about her romance books because when she's on my show, everybody else talks about everything else, and they never talk about the romance shows. And I said, Kathy, you're coming on a romance show because you do a lot of romances plus other things now. But, okay, you wanted to say a little bit about how you started and just what happened with you, how fast you got taken here, and you are really rolling. You are on a roll.
Yeah, I'm on a roll. I'm having a good time.
Good.
I started writing about 3.5 years ago, and I've been with World Castle for just a little over a year now. I have 23 books out as Kathy Barton and one out as K.S. Carroll. And my new book, Force of Nature, is going to be audible by Christmas, and I'm excited about that.
Are you going to have the audio? That's good. It's really good. All right, so, okay, and I wanted you to meet, like, there's all these people here that you don't know because these are all romance writers, basically, and there'll be others coming on. Okay, and let's see. And William and Bethany, you can just ask any questions you want of anybody because that's fine. I can shut up for 5 minutes. All right, let's see. We have Melissa Kier is here. These are all people. Let's see. Melissa's here.
Yep,
Michelle
hello.
Prince is here.
Hello.
Cindy Cromer's here.
Hi.
I'm here. Let's see. All right. We have Kathy. Let's see. Who else do we have here? Okay. And let's see. Who am I missing? Is that it?
Melissa, Michelle, Kathy, and Cindy.
Right. Okay. All right. Who wants to, all of you girls, who wants to go first? Anybody can. Michelle? Go ahead.
I'll go. You know, you're about to tell me. My name is Michelle Prince. I write for Rebel and for Secret Cravings Publishing. I have two books that are currently out from Rebel called Chrysalis and the Frozen. And on October 3rd, the second book in the Chrysalis series will be out called The Beam. And my first one from Secret Cravings called The Guardian's Heart. It's a contemporary as opposed to paranormal. And that'll be out on October 3rd, too. Somehow I ended up with a double release date, so it should be interesting.
And you're writing a lot now, a real lot. I mean, you're just coming
out
with that. Yeah. That's good.
Yep.
Okay, Cindy?
Hi, Cindy Cromer. My first book is Desperate Measures. It's a mystery suspense, but it has a family secret element. So it's got the romantic suspense tie in there. That's my first book. And all these authors that are quick writers, I envy you. My first book was quick to write, getting it published. My publisher is E-Treasures Publishing. And when I saw those magic words, contract offer, was unbelievable to me. I'm a chemist and a president of five laboratories for my executive background. And I had always wanted to write a book and sat down and did it, but never dreamed it would be published. So it was exciting for me. And my second book, Desperate Deceptions, is completed. And I'm hope to have that out soon. But anybody who's written many books, I commend you highly. I love the mystery and the suspense genre is my forte. But with a little bit of romantic twist, I don't write too much romance, like lovey-dovey, but it's got that element of romance.
Well, you might be doing that after the show. You never know. You might get the incentive to do that. Okay. You never know. All right. Let's see. We have everybody. Did everybody talk? I feel like I'm a teacher. Everybody talk?
No, Melissa's here. Melissa didn't get to
Melissa.
Talk yet.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Melissa.
Okay. My name is Melissa Keir, and like Michelle and some of the other authors, I am dual published. I am published with Rebel Inc., and I have two stories out with them. One is called Protecting His Wolf, which is a unique twist on the fairy tale of the Three Little Pigs and the Big Bad Wolf. I also have another story with them called Second Time's the Charm, which takes a look at would you marry your best friend's ex-husband. I have one book out right now with Secret Cravings Publishing, which is called Beach Desires, and it was a second book in a series. The first book was published somewhere else and the publishing house closed, and now Secret Cravings is going to publish that story, Forever Love, as well as the third book in this series of the five Wilder sisters. So Secret Cravings will have three of the five books out by the end of the year.
All right, that's good. All right, William, since you,
yeah.
I know you've done a lot of romance, you've done everything. I mean, and you wrote, you know, when you first started, did you write under a female name? Because we talk about which names what people write under.
Yeah, so one time when I first started out, I had like 29 pseudos, so I wrote under a lot of male and female names. And when I wrote Super Romances for Harlequin, of course, I wrote as Willa Lambert. And then I had Anna Lambert, who was writing books at the same time for Heritage House. So, yes, I don't have them anymore because I lumped them all together because 29 names, that's more faces than Eve had. So,
yeah.
I mean... It just became, you know, I didn't know who they were talking to two-thirds of the time, so I
well, yeah, because right, it does get confusing. Yeah, it does. It really
yeah.
does sometimes, you
yeah.
know. And, you know,
it
sometimes
does,
we
yeah.
have to say, yeah, but, you know, but beforehand, I mean, I wrote, you know, I write under the excerpt sometimes for my scripts, and, you know, I mean, it's nothing for an author to just make up a name. This is nothing for us. We could do that, you know. And, I mean, sometimes, you know, like I even started to go under a different name as Madison Montgomery, but then I decided to go, you know, to be Madison Montgomery, but also people know it's me because, you know, I thought that, well, I better come, you know, it doesn't mean anything. So, I mean, for years, I thought it would be better if I was a man and, you know, I could get my script seen better. And I think in those years it might have been, but now it's okay. It's whoever you are, you know, love is love, and whoever you are is whoever you are.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of times a lot of times the publisher needs to differentiate. I mean, if I'm writing kids' stories under the name of Billy Lambert, I mean, I don't want to publish a romance under the name of Billy Lambert because people will think they're picking up a kid's story. If I'm writing erotica, I don't want to write it under, you know, you might not want to write it under the same name because the audience gets confused. I let them get confused anymore because I really don't care. But in the beginning, I did.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Do you want to talk? You have a radio show, though. I listen to the radio show.
Oh,
the other night. Yes. Yeah. What night is it on? Okay. Tell everybody a little bit about your radio show so they can know what you do.
Oh, it's just called No Boundaries, and it's on the UNetwork.com. It's one of those, you know, podcasts and things like that. And we just talk about everything, not just publishing and not just the books. I mean, tomorrow night we're going to talk about traveling and how it's affected my writing and my co-host's career. So we just talk everything. Nothing is on the limit. So if you want to, it's 4 p.m. Pacific. So, however, I suspect everyone will be over here listening to
give me the link. Send me the link, and then I'll put the link out because I listen to it, and it's about music, and it's about everything. And you do a lot of vampire shows and things like that, right?
Yes. We don't. We needed a variety of. We wanted a variety of subjects, and so that's what we went for. So.
Right.
Because I figure people like you are covering. You know, you're covering this aspect of it, and you're doing it very well. And
thank you. I don't know what I'm covering.
Then,
I'm covering everything under the sun. Don't know.
Yeah, well, we don't want to duplicate what you're covering.
No, that's okay.
You
can duplicate. We'll feel bad.
Yeah, so.
Okay,
yeah,
you know,
right,
because
okay.
Look, and the good thing is that all the people on the show tonight, I mean, Cassie and everybody, you know, we all, you know, we're all writers and we all get along, you know, as far as helping each other. And I think that's a good thing, you know. I mean, who wants to talk about something about that? Because I know, you know, Michelle, you're out there a lot, and I know, Melissa, you're always out there. I mean, you're really very helpful to people, helping them with their careers, either if you wanted to. I mean, really, because you really are, you know. You know, you're around, and we could see your name out there, which is good.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, that's part of it. You need to help each other out, because we can't all afford to have our own publicist. So we have to be our own publicist. And, you know,
I appreciate
everything that, you know, anybody else will do for me when it comes to helping me get past, you know, doing or put my name out there as well, you know, so I just kind of pay it back, I think.
Right. I think so. You know, Kathy, you know, I mean, like all, you know, like I know that World Castle has other romance, but not in the same genre that you write. Is that true? Or
that's very true. Mine is has a lot of erotica in it.
Because I didn't think so. Right, right. And everybody here, you know, mostly Cindy doesn't, but everybody else has written erotica. Right? I mean, we're all doing this, you know. So I think, you know, and I'm even, I really am getting better now, because the first one I did, I have Bethany help me. Bethany had helped me with the words, but I got it this time. I got it. And, well, not as, yeah, I'm getting there. It's not that easy. I think people think that it is. Does anybody want to talk about that? It's not as easy as people think. It's just like you just sit down and write something. You don't. You have to take time and think about this.
Can I jump in here for a minute?
Yeah.
At Mystery Writers of America Sleuth Fest this year, I attended the sex panel.
Okay.
This was hysterical. I mean, but they made a valid point that an author doesn't sit down and say, I'm going to write sex in this scene right here now and do it. It has to flow and have its purpose and point.
It's true, though. It is true. I mean, it is true because, you know, in most of the novels, you know, the bestsellers, whatever, people have sex. I mean, this is not a secret. You know, I mean, it's just life. It's how you, you know, it's how you do the scene.
Right.
Yeah. And,
so what?
And this is Michelle. I was going to say, because I do have my pseudonym who writes naughty books, but it's focused on that one aspect of the relationship, which is in most cases the most important aspect, because it's how you actually can be with that person at deeper levels.
Right.
You know, I mean, you've got your friends that you can talk with, you can be with, but it's another thing to actually share a part of your actual body with somebody. And so from that standpoint, it's a little bit harder, and it's one of those things where when someone tells me, oh, it's the basis form of writing is writing erotica, I'm like, well, you can think that, but the only difference is my book has a lot of it and not, as opposed to other books which just have smatterings of it.
Yeah. Okay, Bethany, you write very good sex scenes. You want to talk about that for a second? You do.
I do what?
He doesn't even need to get edited sometimes. Go ahead, Bethany. Go ahead.
Okay, what am I doing? What?
Talk about... Okay.
Talk about your sex scenes.
Sex scenes are easy. Everybody does it. It just comes along with the story.
Right. But you don't have to. You hardly get edited. I mean, you just write it. You zip it out there. I mean,
I am allergic to commas. Allergic to commas. I have this real bad allergy, and if I ever find a pill for it, I am sure E will love it.
Me too. I'm the same way, Bethany. That's why I have a fear of commas. They're just horrible things.
Yeah.
Well,
I can't put a comma in to save my life.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it is hard editing. I mean, I don't edit my own work. I can't edit. I really don't edit. You know, I mean, I know when I see something wrong, but not on my own work. I can't, you know, because you read it. And, I mean, William, isn't that true? When you read your book, you don't see some of the things? I mean, I don't.
I read, yeah, look, I can read a book over and 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 still not catch everything. And it's usually, oh, however, I must admit that I editor my books a lot better than a lot of my editors do. not that I'm criticizing, because I have some good editors when I want. I want them to know that, because you don't want to get on the bad side.
They're never
going to
help you again, right? Right.
No, I'm on their shit list right now. That's it. But, yeah, you have to look. You have to edit. You have to edit your book so that when you turn it over to the editor, they don't have very much work to do, or they get very perturbed.
Yeah.
Or mine has a tendency too. I mean, you've got to have a polished work before you turn it in anyway. So. You do have to, but I can't catch all of my mistakes. No, I never do.
You can't. And I know for me, like, I'm articles all the time. I'll be reading and my brain will immediately put them in there. And then other people, it'll hit a roadblock for them. But for me, I'm like, oh, well, I swear, I remember my fingers typing it. I remember reading it when I read it the 7 times. And no, it's not there, because your brain will throw that in there.
Yeah, I don't even see that a word is missing. I don't even see a word is missing. I say the word, and it's not even on the page. I'm like, what is going on here, you know? But,
you know it should be there. You know it should be there. You assume that it's there. Your mind tells you it's there, and it's not. Yeah, you need editors.
And then you have everybody out there that, you know, if you're on Facebook and you absolutely are exhausted and you spell something wrong, and then you have 50 people telling you you spelled something wrong and you can't delete it, and you're trying, and I'm trying to hide it, delete it, whatever, and then I'm going, oh, my God. You know, but you can't sometimes get it off. And it's like everybody's watching for that one time that you're not. Well, I've done it more than one time. I always spell can't.
Sometimes they let you edit them. Sometimes I let you edit them now, Marcia.
Now
it's
better.
Yeah.
Yes, now I noticed that. Right. And when I don't finish my sentence because I'm talking so much and I'm writing so much, that then they let you now add on. I'm saying, great, because I'm thinking like, boy, they're going to look at me like I'm an idiot. I don't finish my sentence. Like, wait a minute.
No. They're adjusting for us, Marcia. Adjusting for us.
right. For people like me, I guess. I know.
Well, you want to know my new trick that I did on my last book for editing? I actually invited a whole bunch of my friends over, cut up all my chapters because, you know, my books are all longer. They're full-length novels, so I have like 40 chapters. Everybody gets a chapter, and they just keep passing them out, so nobody actually knows what happens in the book, so you don't get involved and you start skipping it. I call it a beta reading party. I have alcohol. I have food. I'm like, here you go. It takes about 2.5 hours to do it, but they catch so many of the things because all those little hiccups that I don't see, they see them. So that's my new I get it done.
So you have a party, an editing party, exactly.
I do, but everybody gets a different chapter, and nobody knows what happened in the previous one. They don't know who, you know, so nobody actually knows what happens in the story. But
do they buy your book
when
it's done? Do they buy your book when it's done? Oh, good. Those are good
friends.
Those are good friends.
That's a good idea if I had any friends.
Yeah. Try that.
Well, what happens is nobody wants to buy any books anymore. That's what the problem is. And everybody says to me, how do they sell books? And that's what everybody's doing out there. Everybody's trying to figure out a way to get people to buy books. And, William, what's the answer to that? Because I know we talked about that. What happens?
I'm not too sure there is. I'm really not too sure there is an answer to it. I mean, the whole industry is kind of it's not a slump. It's just that there are so many publishers out there, and there's so many writers out there, and it's so much easier for people to self-publish these days. There's more books out there, so you just kind of get lost. And I wouldn't want to be entering the book writing stage of the game at this stage here and now.
I think that's true. I've been doing this for a long time, and we had Barbara Rogan on, and she was an agent, and she was on with Virginia and I, and this is a tough time. She was published before, and she made all her friends, and this is really hard now because, you know, you really can't tell, and some of the smaller publishers, really, they try, but they can't afford to do what needs to be done sometimes.
No, you've only got so many readers out there, and there are only a certain amount. There are a lot of books for them to choose from and to read, and it's just very difficult to get the readers. So unless you have, your only way of doing it is write a lot of books and you know, do it that way, or have written before and have fans who keep coming back to you. So I mean, all power to people who can go out there. I mean, I majored in marketing advertising, and I still have difficulty actually going out there and pushing a book. So all power to the people who are new to the business and can get out there and do it. I mean, that's great.
Yeah. Any new ideas anybody has here for people that are out there? Because, I mean, you know, the romance market is a really good market, and people do help each other. But what can authors do? I mean, they're really, you know, nobody does seem to know what to do anymore. You know, every day there's a new idea.
That's pretty much it.
Well, you know, not even the major publishing houses like Harlequin and Silhouette help you as much these days as they used to.
Yeah.
You're just left on your own a lot of the time. So.
Now, Kathy, do you do marketing? I know the answer to this, but Kathy, do you do marketing?
Not a lot. Not as much as I probably should.
But you have people buying your books.
Yeah, I do. I have a tremendous amount of people buying my books.
So how did you how did you start getting, I mean, did they just find you? I mean, you had to do something there, right? I mean, or did you just get out there and that was that?
I'm really not sure. they started putting me on, I think it was the covers mostly that started it out, because my covers are extremely sexy. And then I would put like excerpts of like entire chapters on Facebook and on Google+, and so from there. And every day I try to get on and add something, you know, like right tomorrow, World Castle's having that huge giveaway where they're giving away all kinds of awesome things. I think I've got 4 books I'm giving away, and some bookmarks, and a necklace that we're giving away. It's going to be huge, and Joanne is putting that on for us all, so that helps me a lot. And then I get a lot of word of mouth, and I give away a lot of copies of my books, and that helps. And then
now you give them away. How do you? Where do you get? You give them away? Like, do you have the giveaways or on book? You're not on BookReads a lot, though. I know that. I mean, you know. So where do you give the books away? Where do you give them away? And what? How do you? Like, what kind of? Well, how are you doing it? Because I know how to do it, but I mean, how? What are you doing?
KDP, the KDP program that World Castle has with Amazon. That helped me a great deal.
You put them on. See, everybody you talk to, it's different. I don't know. Michelle, I doubt that a lot of these. Michelle, I don't know if Michelle or. Did you ever do that?
Did I ever put it on? No.
For free. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No,
see, that's,
yeah, we don't
see, that's
do
the thing.
That.
World
yeah,
Castle
I'd
does
love
that.
To,
right.
But I'd
They're
love
not
going to
want to do it. Right.
Yeah, because I have to. I mean, I have to get approval from. I mean, Rebel will let me give away books. You know, I can do giveaways. We have that option.
Yeah.
But I couldn't put it on Amazon and say, hey, it's going to be free for 24 hours, and see what happens from that. But I have a friend who she self published and she put out. She did like 3 different times where she gave away her book, and she ended up giving away like 57,000 copies. And now her second book comes out, which she's not going to give away. And she's retiring from her job, you know.
Really?
Because she's got people addicted to her series.
See, that's
so, that's what I
see. Yeah. Who's that? Who just said that? Kathy?
Kathy.
Kathy is not self-published. World Castle is her publisher. So World Castle did that for a lot of people. So it goes back and forth. So you think that that's how you got your success?
I think it helped.
Helped, okay.
Yeah, because I honestly think that, I have no idea, because when I started out as a writer, all I wanted to do was get the people in my head to shut up.
Okay. That's what Bethany says. Bethany, you always say that. Bethany always says that she has people in her heads talking to her. I do too, though, but I've always said that. I'm not sure if I was writing then or not. I just do. You know. Bethany? Don't you say that, though? Yeah.
Yes, I just come up with some kind of an idea, and then I have a couple of characters that just tell me the story, and all I do is write it down.
That's me.
Yeah. All right. See, all right, so you think, so for you it's been successful, and you put chapters on Google, your own?
Kathy? Yes, I do.
Yeah, okay. I myself, you know, I go day to day, and I go, you know, and I try to figure out what to do, and Actually, Virginia and I are having a show, and we're going to have somebody on October, and she's helping us, and she does a lot of PR, and if anybody is looking for it, let me know, you know, because she's putting people on Twitter and things, and she's really very good. It's Marnie, and, you know, she'll be on in October to try to tell people, and she's doing affordably different programs for people, because most of us realize that no matter how much we do this, we're not getting it right sometime. And Twitter seems to be a big deal with books. It seems to be really helping a lot of people with books, getting the reader. That's what I wanted to have tonight. I'm wishing people would call in or want to talk, but that's what I'd like to hear from readers. So every show we do from now on, I'm going to ask for some readers, because we all need to talk to the readers. I think that would be a good thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, how does everybody feel about that? I know that a lot of people cater to the readers, and I would if we could, you know, get them on the shows. See, I'd like to hear what readers really have to say. You know,
yeah, they never seem to check in. You can go on all these chats, and I've been on an awful lot of chats, and you've tried to find a reader. You're just,
yeah.
It seems to me like you're usually talking to another writer or another
yeah.
or a publisher
yeah.
or an editor, and
yeah.
then, yeah, the head of the chat room says, you know, there are a lot of stalkers out there, they're shy, they don't want to come in and talk, but for all I know, I mean, good luck talking to a reader.
See, okay.
I'm actually scheduling. This is Michelle. I guess my book got picked up by a book club down in Arkansas, which is obviously not close enough that I could actually visit them. But they contacted me, and I'm supposed to be Skyping them when they finish the book, so that way I can connect with my readers and talk to them about what their questions are for the book or the series.
See, that's
so
right.
That,
in the chat room, they're talking about that. You know, people, the book club. See, I think that is probably the best way to go, and I think that's a good idea, but it's hard. There's so many people, and a lot of times the book clubs, they don't realize who they should, you know, they have so many people probably coming to them, they don't, you know, take a lot of people probably. How much can they read?
Well, and they found me. I don't know how they, that's one of my questions I'll have as to how did you find my book to bring
yeah.
it to your book club? Because
yeah.
I, you know, but they asked me if I had any swag and if I'd be willing to, you know, give them a few minutes, and I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Not going to hurt
See,
me any.
Yeah, right.
But that's,
you know.
That's a hard
And that's good that they're, you know what, that's good that they're opening up to this genre, because, you know, well, it's now the genre is getting much more play than it ever did. Every newscast, because they're talking about, you know,
right.
50 Shades of Grey. I mean, and they, every newscast, every show, they bring it up in some kind of a joke, whatever. It is no joke, because she did a great job, and there's no question. This woman, she wrote it. And people, you know, they may say bad things, but you know what? That's ridiculous. This woman, everybody would like to have sales like she has and get picked up for a movie. I think this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, we'd all like that. So I think that that's what's helping the market, though, for romance and, you know, maybe even book clubs now honestly admitting that they would like to, because since the iPad, they're actually being able to read books that they might not have read before because they didn't want to. You know, show that they were going to be buying books like that, which is ridiculous, but that's life, you know, how it goes.
Yeah.
Look, if you, Marcia, if you write a book that's not self-published, you can still get to your readers through bookstores, brick-and-mortar bookstores like Barnes & Noble, who will have signings for you,
but
they won't
what,
touch
the Yeah, but lately,
the,
have you been there? Have you been, because lately they're not,
yeah,
it doesn't,
yeah.
yeah. See, because I've been
they're
there
not,
too, but even as I've been there, but they don't really do anything. We've had so many authors on here lately saying that it doesn't matter what genre, what city, they haven't really been nice, you know. And I know a lot of people have thought that it's going to be better at Barnes & Noble, and they're very disappointed when they don't sell very many.
Yeah. Well, it's basically the same thing. It's just one more little thing. It's just one more little thing that you can do. I've had more success with, like, independent bookstores, although they're disappearing. But they're apt
yeah.
to give you more attention if you could get into those. So.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. A lot of them have closed. Who was just going to talk? Kathy, was that you? Or?
No, it was Cindy. I was
okay,
going to say the exact same thing. I've had more success with
small
independent bookstores, but they're well known. Vero Beach Book Center, Murder on the Beach, and Books and Books in Miami.
But you're in Florida, though. You're in Florida, right?
In Florida,
right?
yeah. So, but that's my my little area here. I can get to Miami in 2 hours from Stewart or Vero Beach in an hour. But that's, I can't go to every little bookstore all over the country.
Yep.
That's
right.
What my frustration in marketing and publicizing is, because you just can't. Barnes & Noble, they're all over the place, but it's hard to get into them with distribution, especially my publisher is a small publisher.
Writers want to write, or I do.
Yeah.
I mean, writers
right.
want to write. They don't want to be out there really. I mean, the last thing I want to do is to go out and push my book. But you got to push your book. But writers don't really. A lot of them are kind of shy, but just as soon stay home and write. So
But I think that
but if you're not going to push your book, who is going to? I mean, it's just like if you don't believe in your book, why should a publisher believe in you? Why should an agent? Why should a bookstore? Why should anybody? I mean, there's one author, she goes by Deluxe, and her book, she'll just walk up to somebody with a bookmark and say, I'm going to tell you this thing's going to make you wet, and then she'll walk away.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
really?
She is so bold. I love her to death. But that's just the way she is. And let me tell you, her book is amazing, and but she's done that to just random people on the street. If she sees that they're reading a book, she sees it's romance, she just and walks away. And I'm like, I don't think I can do that. But
I know,
she believes
I know.
Enough in her book, and that's why her book is successful. So,
I do that too. This is Cindy again. I do that too. If I see somebody, if I'm on an airplane, I'll pass out my bookmarks, talk to someone who's reading.
Yeah.
Have I sold a million books yet? No, but I don't give up. I mean, on the beach, I go over to the beach, I see somebody reading, and I'll go talk to them. I have my son and daughter. I'll give them bookmarks, too. I prostitute them and say, here, that person's reading. No, not that bad.
Right. No, I think that is, I need to do that. I know people that know me for years, and then they find out I write. They go, are you serious? I go, no, I'm always so busy talking and listening to their stories, and I never tell them anything about me. And then when they hear, they go like, oh, my God, and I probably should do that. That is a good thing to do. I know it. Kathy, you do that, too. I mean, everybody does that.
I leave bookmarks on the table when I go out to eat.
You do. Yeah. I know. I got to do this. I know.
One of the things that I did this summer, we were up on a vacation, and they have these places that they call, like, lending libraries. You're at a resort, and they have books sitting on the shelf, and it's like, take one whenever you want. Well, what I did is I went and put my business card with all of my books and how to get a hold of me inside each one of those cards, or inside each one of those books. I figured they'd need a place mark.
I used to drop mine off in the libraries of cruise ships. I used to go on cruises and take my books. I just leave them in the library with cards.
Well, maybe that's what's wrong with my career. I don't go on any cruise ships.
There you have it, Marcia. That's what jump-started mine.
Listen, I had enough. Like, I was at a wedding that was in the tent. I felt like I was on a cruise ship because it was an elegant, gorgeous wedding. But it was still, outside, and you had to go into the bathrooms where you had to go upstairs, and it's kind of wobbling back and forth. And I said, for me, I felt like I was on a cruise. And I go, I can only imagine if I was on a cruise, I wouldn't even survive maybe 5 minutes. But, that'll be my next thing if I go on a cruise. No, I doubt that. I can tell you. It's probably not. That's not going to happen. That's one thing.
My parents go on cruises frequently, and they do not leave, will not leave, step on the gangplank unless they have a stack full of my bookmarks. But I went to I had to go to a family funeral a few months ago, and at the sign-in book, my cousin said to me, why don't you put your bookmark next to this? I said, oh, my God, I'm not that crass. I said, we're at a family funeral. I'm not going to be prostituting right here at this moment.
You have a limit then. We have a limit. Yeah, right. I mean, just because you that
I said, if you want to hand it out for me, that's fine. But I'm
right, we're going to bring one more person on that's out there. And, now here is a person. Here she's coming on, Bobby Schaefer, she has been doing this. She goes everywhere. Okay. Bobby, are you here? Bobby? Sandra? Bethany? What happened? There's Bobby. Okay.
Nope.
I don't know where Bobby is. What happened?
I'm right here.
Oh, there you go. See, all right, now, all right, why don't you tell us what you do, guys? Hi, Bobby. Say hello to everybody that's on. They're all on. We have a lot of people on right now.
Hello, and, gang. How are you doing?
Hello. Hello.
And
hi.
Tell everybody what you do. Because you do.
Well,
I tell everybody who you are and what you do and how you get your book sold.
Well, my name is Bobby Schaefer. I write just about anything that pops into my head. It's more or less what I don't do. I have book signings sometimes 4 or 5 a month, sometimes 2 a month. I speak at every club that asks me, and I ask every club to let me. I go on every radio show, thanks to Marcia. I have TV appearances probably once a month.
Wow.
I take my books and put them in every small store that I frequent enough to where they recognize me and ask them if they would be happy, you know, if I could leave a few books to sell, and I have sold a bunch that way. I live in a small town, probably 2,000 people, and I have found that the libraries have been my greatest source. I have probably sold more at the libraries, and the libraries are a wonderful host of other outlets. For example, last week I spoke at a small town library, and from that library, they're having a grand opening in about 6 months of a brand new library they're building. And about 4 months later, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Rusk, Texas Railroad. It's a small, old-fashioned steam railroad that runs through a few towns. And they've just been bought by a big conglomeration, and they're going to have a big open house. They have asked this librarian to set up a big to-do for their celebration. She has asked me and a few groups that I know to dress in period of the, you know, our book, and to go on to this railroad and walk up and down in our period costumes and sell our books. We have festivals down here in Texas. Every town has a festival. Fire Ant, Syrup, you name it, we have it. And they are big, big movers of books.
Yeah, see, I know. See that, but you really do all that. You know, and that's true. I mean, you know, it's for, you know, but it works, though. You sell the books.
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. You know, I'm not going to be able to take a cruise a month for a while, but I would probably say, on a small press, which I have all my books are with small presses, I probably pull in $200-$400 a month on book sales. And
it's very good.
To me, for a small
good.
Press,
yes, very
it's very good. Yeah.
You could say the name of who you're with. Go ahead.
Well, I'm with a couple of them. Dancing with Bear Publisher. Publishing has two of my books. They will have another one. Well, in fact, they'll have three more out next year of mine. And then Malachite Quills Press has a young adult fantasy that will be out in November, first as ebook and then in print. And I
so
have
you're doing
a couple
really
of more.
Good. I mean, you're doing great. So, you know, and you just, you know, you've done a lot of stories, though. You also did just stories. And how you did a lot of those. How many did you do?
Well, I started writing books, and I belong to a writer's guild here, East Texas Writers Guild, and at that guild, a speaker suggested that in order to get any kind of, you know, if anybody to notice us, that maybe short stories, small story magazines and things. So I thought, oh, heck, I'm not getting any books published, might as well. Well, to me, it was just a godsend. I probably in 2 years sold, I know I sold over 350, probably close to 500 short stories.
Yep.
And then when I was able to do some submission, I certainly had enough credits to say I have been published in.
Yep.
And they were pretty good magazines everybody had heard about. And then I was able to go back, you know, while I was pulling in a couple of $100 a month on short stories, I was able to go back and work on my novels because I love to write books. I mean, I can whip out a short story a day, but it takes me a month or two to write a book. And before I ever got one published.
All right.
I
so
had
then, all right.
15.
So then it can be done. Okay. So anybody want to go for that after that? I mean, you know, it's true. You know, you really do have to put a lot of work into it.
Oh,
get
definitely.
Out there. Yeah. Okay. I mean, so you know, but you've done it though. On short stories first, and then, you know, because a lot of times you hear that people can't do it on short stories, but that's not, I have 7 books, but I've never done short stories. I actually like this. It's a lot of fun. I'm bringing my characters now that were in my screenplays, and it's fun for me, and I never really did it, you know, and it's hard. William, I know
that
we've
talked
about...
Well, if you can write an essay, if you can write an essay, you can write a short story, because that's all they are.
Yeah,
you know, it's just all... Very little
William,
dialogue.
I know William. We had a conversation about short stories. So
yeah, we did, didn't we? Yeah.
Yes,
no,
we did. Okay.
It's just as easy for me to write a whole book as it is to write a short story. Short stories just take. You've got to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, like a short story. I mean, like a book, so you might as well write
right.
a book. I have written short stories. I mean, I have a lot of collections out there. I think I have about 4 or 5, plus I have a whole series on AmazonCon of really short stories, like 3,000 words. I think I have like 15 books in the one series, but they're not easy.
And they're very
not
short. They're only
me.
10 pages. They're like 10 pages because I read one, right?
They're like, you know, I think, you know, 2,000-3,000 words are really short. They're like 99 cents each, but...
Yeah. Well, that's right,
but,
when they're 99 cents, which is right, and that's the thing. You know, I mean, I think it's a great market. I never did it before, and Bethany did a couple of them, and then I said, oh, you know, I think I'll try this. You know, I mean, because sometimes you don't really know if you can do things, and you try it, so, you know. Melissa... Do you want to just,
yeah.
you know, I know you do a lot of different things. Do you want to talk about some of the things that you do also to get out there?
Well, a part of the thing that got me started was I was working with Sizzling Hot Book Reviews and did book reviews. And so by doing that, I'm not getting paid to do that, but I'm reading books and a large variety of books and then establishing those relationships with other authors and reading books. And writing reviews, which is also, you know, helping me with my writing, but it forms those connections. So right now,
yeah.
I've been working on a story for Decadent that I want to submit to them that follows their guidelines, but they already know who I am, and they already know what I'm writing, and they already have the familiarity with me.
Yeah.
I've also been doing some editing for another publishing house, and they just recently offered me part ownership in the publishing house.
And do you want to take
that,
or are you thinking of it?
I am taking that.
Yeah.
It's a small vanity publisher, I guess you would say, an indie publisher. They pay royalties, and because I had been doing their administrative work and I had already been doing editing for them, I figured why not? Might as well put myself in there a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so.
The only problem is,
you know,
it's a lot of work, and that takes away from your writing because, you know, then you'll have different things to do that you don't do now.
Well, that's
yes.
true. But I also work a full-time job right now, and I'm
right.
hoping to leave that full-time job
yeah.
eventually, and that'll free up some more time because right now I'm an elementary school teacher. So my work week is pretty full. So I was doing all of this and still writing, so I'm just now going to continue doing all of those things.
I was given my own imprint by a British publisher at one time, and it turned out to be too much work. I mean, there's too much more involved than writing, and I was more interested in the writing, so I said, you know, I'm sorry. So,
yeah.
you know, good luck. People who can multitask and do that, good luck to them.
Well, I think what's happening is a lot of people, it's not only multitask, it's like, triple tasks that a lot of people are trying to take on, which something has to suffer a little, you know, something. You can't do, you know, and
yeah.
I try to do everything. But, you know, it's true, though. You know, when you're writing, you really need to think sometimes. I mean, actually, I have to think sometimes, you know, and you really do.
Oh, no, Marcia.
That is a dirty word. I know, that's bad. That's worse than the other words. But the truth is you have to think. And, you know, and really think sometimes about what you're doing. Sometimes I go to it sometimes to a Starbucks, sometimes to a restaurant, just to sit and just not have anything to, you know, not in my office, not in my house, just somewhere completely without phone or whatever. Well, I have the phone, but I shut it off, and I do sneak a peek every now and then. I'm not going to say I don't, but I just I think it's better not to do all of that sometimes. I think I was better off years ago in some ways before. I mean, I love the internet for what it's done, making me, you know, having me, you know, meeting all these people and having a show. I love all this. So I never would have done that. But I did. I do think my writing, I just, it's the Facebook and just looking and just thinking of, oh, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? Shouldn't I be trying to do this? And I decided that I'm just really going to continue writing more. I mean, I have to. You know, radio shows are really a good thing for people to be on. That's why I like a lot of guests on, because I like them to get out there, because that's like the best form that there is. It, you just get to a lot of people, archives, you know, and it's just different ways that certainly the world of Inc., we put a lot of time into advertising, Virginia and I, and we really do. And so that's how, you know, that's why I like to have people certainly starting out, because it's really hard to get out there. You don't know what to do. I take notes on every show. I really do. I take notes, and people, I've learned a ton from everybody. That's why the people that are on today, right now, a lot of them, they have been successful. That's why they're on. And Kathy has not met some of them, and that's why I wanted Kathy to meet them, because she is alone in her, you know, endeavors, and she's doing great, but it's nice to have, like, I know when Rebel Inc. had that where they had the tagging and liking and sharing, you know, and they opened it to all writers. It was fun, you know. I mean, it was interesting for me because I met a lot of people that I might not have met. I don't love liking and tagging everybody. I've already mentioned that on the show, but it is a good way to meet people that are in the same genre. I mean, I don't know, Michelle, do you want to talk a little about that? Because, you know, you like those. You know,
liking,
you know,
and tagging?
Well, we do it. We, I don't know if
well,
liking,
we do it. I mean,
yeah.
It helps because then I like it, and maybe somebody else will follow, will see that in my news feed. But it's nice, and hopefully that, and there have been people when I go to a liking and tagging party that I'll actually buy their book while I'm doing it. But that's what the point of the liking and tagging, plus hopefully you'll get somebody else's, you'll like their Facebook page, and, you know, as their releases come out, you can share that too. But, like, that's kind of back to that paying it forward, you know.
Right.
You should be able to help. You should be, I mean, just like, you know, like Bethany coming to me and saying, hey, you're another Rebel writer, you want to come on a radio show? And,
yeah
I mean, how else would I have found it if it wouldn't have been for Bethany going ahead and asking me to do that?
Right.
You know, and just like I actually had a friend, he's not published yet, and he was so grateful that I invited him to a Facebook liking party, because he couldn't get above 22 people to like his page, and now he's got people looking at him and commenting on what he posts, and it was just something that he was very grateful that I invited him to there, because he's still looking for his place in the writing world. So,
you know,
well,
that's how I got to meet everybody. And, you know, from doing show, I did the Red River shows, and she had, I don't know, she had like 50 hosts. I mean, she really did. And April Robin, and she, you know, still, it's still out there, Red River. And Fran does some shows. I do some shows with Fran. But that's how I met Fran Lewis. I mean, that's how everybody and Bethany, you know, and, you know, that's how a lot of us met, you know. And, you know, William, I met from Ree, and, you know, I mean, we all, that's how you meet. And that's, you know, a really good thing to know, that, you know that these people that you're meeting, some of them are great and you can always count on them, and they know what they're doing. That's why people on the show tonight, these are people that know what they're doing. Everybody on here tonight does know what they're doing, you know. And
I'm glad you said that, because I don't think I do, but that's all right. That's fine.
Marcia?
Yes.
Marcia, one of the things, too, that I have found among fellow writers and authors is that the more you know and get to know, they will tell you about events coming up. You know,
yeah.
I have had a dozen people email me and say, do you know about this event coming up? A lot of I was telling you about the festivals and things, they have a really enormous space charge. And a lot of them will say, look, you know, they got $80 for this thing. Of course, there's 10,000 people come to it. And they'll say, if we can get a couple of them to go in, you know, you want to go in together. And the ones that I hang out with, that I have the book signings with, I mean, if somebody buys one of their books and just sit there looking, they'll say, look over at Bobby Schaefer. She's got this really great, you know, romance, kind of historical romance. It is really good. She got a beautiful cover, and here they come, you know.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
I don't think there's any competition among writers and authors. We're there to help out. It's just like you ladies said, you know, to encourage and help out. That's what the game is called.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's true. I mean, I really do. I think it's a lot of fun, though, to meet people. And I had you have a writers group, and I had them on. And it was really a good – they're really very supportive of each other.
Oh, absolutely. They're great, great gals.
Because I don't love it. See, some of these things like, you know, the writers group where everybody sits there and they tell everybody how bad their work is and they need this and they – I hate that. But your group is very supportive of each other, and that's why I had you on.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. So, yeah. You know,
well, we don't criticize. What we do is just look at it. We pick out the little errors that, you know, our eyes have just looked at so long we don't see. We make suggestions, you know, twist the sentence around. Oh, don't forget, hey, look, you had her blue eyes a while ago, and now she's green-eyed. That's kind of what we do.
Right. Well, that would be one of those parties. That you You know, I mean, see, that's the thing. There's so many different things that are available now. And I think, William, you know this, too. There's a lot of different ways people can do things now that they couldn't do years ago. I mean, you know, even this now, you know, is a different venue for people to be on, where I think it was, well, because some people were charging enormous amounts of money to be on radio shows, which is insane, you know. So, I mean, William, wouldn't you say over the years, I mean, that this has been, it's a whole different, it's all different now. It's really different.
There's more, there are, I would say that.
Right, you would say that.
In a nutshell,
I also wanted to say something, because I know we have a lot of people that write vampires. I have a lot of people that do all of that stuff. And what is the name of the shop that you had, that your partner has on the air? It's a fan where she has all the merchandise.
Oh, Vampire Wear. My co-host on No Boundaries, the No Boundaries radio show, is Joanne, whose last name I can never pronounce. But
it's called Vampire Wear. I know, because
VampireWear.com. VampireWear.com. Yes.
And so she has a lot of things on there. Okay. Because we have a lot of people that do that. You know, I mean, you know, and a lot of people are, you know, they're changing. You know, they're different, you know, genres, and that's a good thing. You know, I mean, I do a lot of different genres, too. But I actually, you know, I've always liked the romance writers, because I think all of you, in general, you're very upbeat. And I think that's a good thing, because I think everybody's happy about what they do, and most of the writers are not as happy. Because I think they're just trying to make a ton of money when this is it's not going to happen. And it's not because they're bad. It's what you said before, William, is there's so many people. There's competition everywhere, and you can't be afraid of competition. I had a show on a few weeks ago, and we were talking about that, and it was really an intense conversation, because if you think you're going to make $1 million and you feel afraid to be out there that you're going to have competition, you can't be in this game, because this is a game. You know, it is. Yeah. You can't. You cannot be in this, because you have to just take what you get and be happy and keep writing and be happy with that. And that's why I think the romance writers are really happy with what they're doing. I don't think many people that write romance that I've met are not really happy writing it. I think they're all happy. I mean, the ones that I've met, and I've met a lot of them. You know, and I think everybody's happy and enjoying what they do. So I think whatever genre people do, they should kind of enjoy what they do. Does anybody want to talk about the fact that people should enjoy what they do? I mean, you know, Melissa, you seem happy with what you're doing. Michelle, I mean, Cindy, I mean, all of you. Kathy's, I know, happy with what she's doing. You know, who wants to talk about how happy they are about what they're doing?
Well, one of the things that I've noticed as far as romance writers, I mean, what's almost ironic is when I started my first book, it was not a romance book. It was kind of an adventure of a young woman back in 1857 to be independent, which was an impossible thing at that time.
Yeah.
And then as I wrote into it, started writing into it, I kept thinking, I don't have a genre for this. There is no genre for what I'm writing, so I better give her a boyfriend.
Yeah.
So that I can put it in.
You don't want her to be bored.
Romance.
She got to do something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, she's independent, but let's face it, you know, I gotta get her published, and she's gotta have a boyfriend. So that's where that one started, and then of course the second one was the same thing because actually I put the second one in first and realized that was my sequel, and I better put my prequel in, and so they both got published. But I actually had to stick in the romance in there in order to get it published.
Well, you need to have
it. It wouldn't go as women's fiction. It couldn't sell as women's fiction without throwing a man. I mean, but every book has, I mean, we've discussed this before, that every single book has romance. I don't care if it's the Bourne
yeah.
Identity.
That's right.
Or,
right. Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, the bar cap. You always have to have, I mean, you just, yeah, there's always going to be romance in there, just because even if it's just a friendship that's lost.
Yeah, even in the very male movies that you see, they put a woman in there just for, you know, just for flavor here. Really?
Yeah.
Well, actually,
I didn't
have anybody. She didn't
yeah.
have anybody. I had to give her somebody because she
right,
really wasn't
right.
interested.
Well, we have to make up things. I mean, that's what writers do. They just make up things. And we don't know where it comes from. But the truth is, we don't want our characters to be bored. What are they going to do all day? I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
There has to be some sort of real life in there.
Yeah. You know, you give them
yeah,
a problem.
Yeah,
you give
that's
them
true.
Something. You know, we are in control of some things, I think. I don't know. You know, that's why writing is so much fun, is that, you know, I think for all of us, you just sometimes don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, like, sometimes at the end, even in the story that I just wrote, it's like all of a sudden I get to the end and I go like, you know, I'm happy because I got that aha moment, you know, where you go, oh, my God, you know, it fits. Because sometimes when you're writing it, you don't know if it's going to fit. And then all of a sudden you have a scene and you go, oh, this is okay because you're happy with it. You know, and that doesn't always happen. And for me, I have to have that moment where I get, where I feel like whatever I did made sense.
Well, and I don't know about anybody else, but, like, for me, with my books, I tend to, I don't know where they're going to go. So it's almost like I'm reading somebody else's book when I write. Cause
yeah, right.
I've had one time where I had to pull away from the keyboard because my character got slapped across the face.
Yeah.
That wasn't going to be in the book. I was never going to have that happen. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she gets slapped across the face. And I knew how the book was going to end in the third and the fourth book. And no, it didn't happen that way at all. It's completely opposite of what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think it's better for it because I let the characters decide what they're going to do, and I just sit here and type it out.
Yeah, I think that's the way it is. I think for almost all the shows I have, most people do that. You know, I don't write with an outline either. And, you know, even if you have something in mind, it's true. I don't really think that sometimes it works out right. I mean, you know, I think it's just whatever happens sometimes. And then, you can't really, it's like when you're in a relationship, sometimes it doesn't change and you can't change that person no matter what you do. So it's the same thing when you're writing. You know, it just is what it is. And sometimes when you change a name, it really changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not sure that I like that a lot. When I've done it, and it really, I've done it, and it really does not work well because it's still that same character. It's like changing a person, you know.
That, right.
You know, and it really is hard, you know. So you have to kind of think about all those things. And I think people that read books don't realize how hard it is. Like William was saying, even a short story. And I'm really glad that I started doing them because I had really no idea. I read Bethany's first one. I went, this is really good. You know, I enjoyed it. It was short. It was, you know, sometimes, especially with the iPads.
It was a little too short for me. I wanted more. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But
that
that's a good thing.
That was my review. I'm like, I'm giving you 4 stars because you didn't finish out what I wanted to find out. But whatever, okay.
Yeah, but you know what? She will. And, you know, the thing is, though, sometimes you don't know where to end it sometimes because if you know you're going to do another one. In a screenplay, too, or in a book, sometimes it ends before you thought it should. You know, there's no set way. And I think that everybody that's readers out there, that's why I want to hear from readers sometime. I mean, you know, that I would really like that if they'd come on, but you're right, you know, that they're not, William, you're right, they don't want to come out for whatever the reason, I don't know why,
Well, I will tell you, when you said, you know, changing a character's name completely changes it, my sister-in-law, I love her to death, but the evil character in my first book, her name was Sharon, so I spelled it differently. but it's still my, and my sister-in-law was like, are you going to have another mean Sharon in the next book? I'm like, I swear to God, I tried changing her name, and it just didn't work. I changed
right.
the spelling. But every time I, that was the name that came out. It was. Yeah. I couldn't change it. I tried to change it to something else, and it just would not come out. And I'm like, you know what? She's just going to stay that way, and my sister-in-law will just have to understand. It
well,
comes
you know,
from
now,
love.
Like, you know, certainly because, like, with me, with Virginia, my character's name is Virginia Templeton. I did Virginia Templeton before I ever met Virginia Grenier, who is my partner in the World of Ink. And so I have to always say, no, not Virginia. My story, Virginia Templeton's story, because it's not her. But, you know, that is true, and I can't change her name because she is who she is, you know. And and even when I read my script that I wrote several years ago, I see I'm still talking the same way she did, which I didn't, you know, in a script it was different. So it's like she hasn't changed, really, you know, and that's right. It people think you can just change a name because people have changed a name on one of my scripts that's out for an option, and I don't even like the title, and I don't like the name, and if it doesn't get picked up, I have to go back to the name. It's driving me insane because it doesn't. It's not the person's name. Crazy from
well,
it. But it is what it is.
This is Cindy. When you create a character, it's like giving birth. That character is there.
Right.
That's their name. That's who they are. And with my characters, I feel like if I have to change a name, or I haven't had to, but if someone would say, I don't like this name, I feel would feel like I have to go to a court of law to legally change your name. So that is them, and they're born. They're real people. I visualize them. I talk to them. They talk back to me.
Now, okay, because, right, that is, now, Kathy, I see what you're writing. She wrote in here, people love sex. All right, Kathy, you have series. So do you want to talk about your series a little? Talk about your series and how you keep coming up with new parts to it.
Well, I write with family members. Like, I have several series that are family members. Right now I'm writing, I have a series that I'm writing now about a werewolf family. There are five brothers and a sister, and they each have their own book and their own romance and their own intrigue. There's also the Wade family. There are five girls and one guy. And then some of the books, they roll over into other books, like the Wade family and the Brant brothers. They sort of touch one another's lives throughout the book. I don't know, and I don't write in the order that the books are out in. I don't write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Like, I'll write 1, and then I might write 5, and then I might write 6, and then I'll go back and write 3. And
I know,
two.
I love that. But wait, you do 6 at one time. She does 6 at one time.
Yeah, and they're never the same genre.
I don't know how
like
you
right
do that.
Now,
I mean, really.
Right now I'm writing a werewolf, one of the werewolf books, one of the young adult series, which is fantasy. I have the two human stories, and then I'm writing.
Well, just say their names so they know your name, the names of your books.
I have the names of all of them?
No, just a series. No. This is not a test. This is not like, I'm not going to make you do that. Okay.
I have the Grant brothers. Aaron's Kiss, which is the vampire series, there are 11 of those. The Force of Nature, which is the werewolf series, there are 6 of those. The James Children, there are 2 of those, but they also touch on the Hunters, which is not the species, but the people. They're not out yet, but I'm finishing up the book 6 of that. There's the Waite family. And they're touching on the Grant series.
We should say, we also should add the fact that you work full time too.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so
but
I mean,
don't have
people that
living at home.
You what?
I mean,
I don't have kids
living at home, so that gives
me
a little more time.
Yeah, right. I mean, so it's like, right, and that's the thing, you know, because people that are listening out there, you know, that think they can't do things, you know, people can do a lot more than they think they can do.
I never started out as a writer. I started out as someone who just wanted to have some fun.
Well.
And I don't know if you guys know who Charlotte Blackwell is.
Yes.
She writes young adult series.
She's supposed to be on. She's not on. I don't know what happened.
She's sick.
Oh, she's sick. Okay. All right. Charlotte, I hope you feel better. Okay.
Charlotte took my book and sent it out to 2 different publishers without my knowledge. And one day I was talking to her on Facebook, and I said, I keep getting this letter. I got this letter from this publisher saying that they wanted to see more of my stuff, and she goes, oh, yeah, I should have told you about that.
Yeah,
and that's
so.
How I got published.
Yeah. But you two are very good friends, and you met online.
Yes, we've been friends for almost 3 years, and we just met in March, and she's wonderful. I just love her.
And you did, and you met at a book signing. I mean, that's where you met face to face, you know.
Right.
And Cheryl's from Canada, and they're both with World Castle Writers. So your friendship with her. See, this is where you say that the internet is a good thing, you know, because she pushed you that over the edge. You know, she pushed you a little, and look what happened. I mean, you know, you are doing very well.
She didn't just push me. She shoved me.
Okay. That worked. You know, look at, you know, everybody that's on tonight, you know, I think that, you know, knows how hard this is. You know, and I think that everybody here, you know, and that's why I do a lot of romance shows, because I really want to show people that this is not just something you just throw together, because nobody on this program just threw it together. I mean, and they're all of you are accomplished in what you do, and you just don't throw books together. So, you know, even before I wrote in the erotic romance field, I always felt that way. And so I think that people out there are beginning to now realize that these books have, you know, they're stories. They're not just sex, you know. And I think, like what you're saying, is you started to have fun, you know, and that's what we all try to do. I think, you know, William, you love to have fun. You traveled a lot. That's how you got a lot of your characters. And
if I hadn't have traveled as much as I had, I wouldn't have wrote as many books as I did, because most of the places I've been are incorporated in the books that I write. So
right, and you also have a wine company. You have a you do have a chocolate company. You should say the name of that.
And then my wine series book came from the fact that I traveled all these countries and drank wine while I was there, and my cookbooks came because I traveled all these countries and I had eaten food there. So I mean, it just one just. Came out of the other, came out of the other,
you know,
came out of the other.
So you're doing a lot of things that you know, because you traveled. And see, that's the thing. You know, I mean, because you have 200 books, and you actually have a book on Amazon to tell people about your books.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Wildside Burger Press came out with a reference book, which I found very handy. Yeah,
yeah,
people, 303 pages just on me and my books. And now when people call up and ask me a question, I don't have to dig them out of the trunk. I can just open up and find most of them at least through 2010. So,
Bethany, do you have any questions for the people on the show? You know, a couple of people aren't here. I don't know what happened, but sometimes it might actually be that sometimes you can't get on this show after it. I don't know why that is.
I do see that in the chat room. There's a question for Bobby.
Okay, where is it? Okay.
It says, hey, Bobby, are you an RWA member? If so, do you find that advantageous?
Okay.
No, I'm really not, simply because the nearest RWA group is in, they meet in Tyler. Now, Tyler's not that far from me, but you have to understand that when everybody gets off work at 5:30, Tyler is like Dallas, and driving up there you know, is just horrible. But they did contact me, and I have spoken at their meetings, and it was on a Saturday in the middle of the afternoon, so it wasn't quite as frightening. I would go if it was someplace that I didn't have to hit, you know, 50,000 people coming home from work. But I do believe that writers' guilds, clubs, organizations are very advantageous. You meet people that can give you tips, can give you, you know, events, and a lot of them will invite you to go with them to different book signings in areas where at that place you will find another connection. Definitely, I think that members of organizations are very, very, you know, very, very good for any writer.
But yes, yeah, right. I mean, yes, because some people, you know, they don't belong to a lot of groups and things. I don't really, you know, I'm a WGA agent, and, you know, I belong to that. But it's just really, you know, it's hard to do a lot of group things, too, sometimes when you're writing, because then you get you know, involved in other things, you know, where you can't write as much. And I think, like what William said is true, is writing. Okay, is somebody, say, Michelle, is someone waiting to come on? Is it, did Wendy
say
something?
No, that was before, because I was like, I think it was,
I'm here,
and I'm like, oh, they're not. So that was
sometimes
just
I do think sometimes it is difficult, you know, and you know I'm looking at the chat room. Sometimes it's hard for me when I do the chat room because I, you know, I talk too much. But you know, I can't do everything at once. That I cannot do a lot of times. But yeah, because sometimes it is hard to get on some of these shows. I don't know why that is, you know, or listen. So, but it's very easy to listen after the show is over, and as soon as you click on the archives, the show pops up. And I don't know why it is, because sometimes it just, I think it takes a while to load, and I think a lot of times people don't have patience, myself including. I just kind of start clicking everywhere, and then everything goes off, and then I got to start all over again because I don't want to wait. But I think it's Blog Talk is not that easy sometimes to get on, you know.
Well, and sometimes, if they call in later after the show's already started, it's like it doesn't want to open the mic. It just doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. That happens a lot on Fran's show, too. I don't know why, you know. Okay, so Melissa's saying, I see what she says, romance is one of the key things that we all need. And you're right, and that's exactly right, and that's why these books are really, and they're, look, they've always been popular, but I think they're really going to be popular now. Because I think especially the short stories that people can look at and the, actually, you know, the novellas now, you know, like William, you were talking about novellas, too, that are pretty good, you know.
Well, all I know is that a lot of the people that I publish with take their anthologies that have longer stories in them, and then break up the anthologies, which come out in print, and then put them in e-books. Each story gets its own. So
I think
that more,
these are the right. These are things now that, and you know, and especially when they're on the iPad and all the different e-books, I think people do like shorter stories. I mean, there are people that like long stories, but there are people that are liking the short stories. You know, and so
people's attention span are not as long as they used to be.
Well, I know, because everybody's thinking of a lot of different things, you know. All right, Kathy, all right, you got to go?
Yeah, I got to go. I got to get
up
at 4.
Oh, yes. All right, go ahead. All right, so you met some people now, and we'll just, you know, you have some new friends, and we'll put, and the liking and tagging, I don't really know if we'll do more. I mean, tomorrow we're going to have another show, but I'll, you know, you'll still be out there, and it'll be your pictures on the thing, so they'll know about who you are, and I hope you come on again. Because we have romance shows all the time, and hopefully Charlotte will feel better. You'll come on a show with her, too.
Oh, okay, I loved it. I always like having fun with you guys.
Okay, good.
Good night,
all right,
everyone.
Thank you. Good night. Okay, good night.
Good night.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay, so anybody else? But no, I mean, because actually, there were supposed to be a few more people, but I'm glad of the people that are actually on the show, because everybody has really said a lot of things that, you know, really are important for the people that listen to the show. And but I think probably for right now, everybody could probably, will go around and say, like, their books, you know, just one or two, you know, if they want to say something about whatever's happening in their, you know, in the world. So people will, that might not have heard the beginning of the show. Michelle?
My first book, Chrysalis, came out in April, and the sequel to that is coming out October 3rd. I also have, that's a young adult book, and I also have a adult paranormal series that starts with the Frozen. That one's out right now. And then I have The Guardian's Heart, which is coming out on October 3rd also, and that's a contemporary romance. And you can find everything at my website, which is michelleprincebooks.com. And since my parents didn't have spell check, my name is spelled M-I-C-H-E-L, and then Prince, and then the artist formerly known as. So that's the only hard part about getting to me is, you know, got to spell it wrong because my parents didn't know how to. So,
all right, well, let's blame it on them. Let's always blame it on the parents.
That's right.
They're
the ones who sign the papers, you know.
Okay. All right, Cindy.
Hi, my debut mystery suspense novel is Desperate Measures. It takes place in, we were talking about travel, before, and it takes place in the Caribbean island of St. Kitts. And the reason I chose that location is because I've been there several times. My family and I vacation there several times a year, and it's a beautiful island. So I thought, what a better place to... I love to read books that take me on an adventure and a vacation, so I picked St. Kitts as a location. It involves a multitude of twins, deception, secrets that the main character's father has been hiding all his life, and it climaxes as in the plot, not sex, and reveals an unlikely alliance between two deadly and dangerous enemies. The second book is it's called Desperate Deceptions. It's a sort of a sequel, but I'm that's what it's taking me so long to finish it. I struggled to write it as a standalone, but then gave up, and it's a sequel, and that's it. And it continues on where the other one left off and reveals further family secrets that haven't been revealed. I have my publisher is eTreasures Publishing. My website's www.cindy. My maiden name is Huffner. Now Huefner Cromer. Cromer.
You're really good at this. No wonder you're a scientist. You've got like a formula.
I'm kicking myself for using my maiden name in the middle there when I published the first book, but I thought, you know what? Darn it. I wrote this book.
I did that too. Now I did that too, and I thought it was kind of cute. I said, oh, I'll do this, you know? And then now I'm like stuck using it all the time because nobody will know who I am.
I know.
And so I thought, oh, that was the same reason I got married on my birthday and my anniversary is the same. I don't know where I come up with these ideas. They're not always great, you know? But now I can't, you know, because I did the same thing, and I really can't because if you look up Marcia Cook, it's not really going to come up anywhere. So this was how it happens now, I guess. So,
I know, and if you look me up on Amazon, it comes up as Cindy Cromer anyway. So the next book is Cindy Cromer. That's it.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good.
If they don't know me by now, then they can find out about me.
Right. No, I'm glad you joined us for this, and maybe, you know, you'll want to get into the erotic end of it. We'll never know. We'll see.
on an island. I do spice things up a little bit in the second book.
Yeah, right. I did it. Yeah.
Interaction with the main character and her... PI bodyguard, and they go like cross a boundary there. So I might delve into it. But
all right, you did. All right, Melissa, you do a lot of different things. So, okay. Is there anything that we forgot that maybe somebody should know?
Two new books coming out at the end of the year. And they're a part of my series on the Wilder Sisters. I know we talked about series and how important that is because it brings in a lot of people who read the first one.
Right.
So I hope that they'll read it. It's about five girls who are sisters, and each one left their small town, never looked back, and then they found out Dad had Alzheimer's, and they all started coming back, and it takes place in a small town in Ohio.
Well, those kind of stories are really always good, though, because, you know, when they bring them back, you know, and everybody comes back.
Well, you know, there's going to be funerals, weddings,
right? But you
know
what? But the other thing is when you put sisters or brothers together, which is what was a series, sisters and brothers and sisters. But there's all the dynamics is the same as when they're 10 years old.
Yeah.
Because you still have the same arguments that you had when you were 10. That
Marcia?
Does not change.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have time to take a caller?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Hello, caller. Are you
here? Hi. Hi, baby. My name is Mary. Mary
Hi.
From Texas. Hi.
Did you want to ask a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering what the show is about.
Today?
Yeah.
The show is about romance. Romance. It's a romance writer show.
Oh, what about romance?
Well, we're just talking about it now. Did you have a question for any of the guests?
Yeah. Which one of you are niggers?
All right, you know what? Sandra?
No.
Stephanie?
Yeah, gone.
gone.
Yeah, see, you know what? I'm really sorry, whoever did that, okay? Because you know what? Virginia and I get there every now and then. Well, what's the area code on that? Just tell me over the phone. I don't care.
240.
What is it?
240. He said he had a question for
Whatever. Yeah. Okay, whatever. No. Don't call again, but he probably, I don't know, we don't know who it is, it's not good, but whatever, sometimes they call. All right, anyway, they can call in Howard Stern, they can call here, what can I tell you?
it's only 10:30 here in Florida. If it was at 3:30 in the morning, you'd really get some wackadoo calls, right?
Yeah, you know, we had it at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. First, Virginia and I, we were just sitting there. Neither of us knew what to say. We just stood there. Both of us, we didn't say one word until finally she took them off. We just were going like, oh, my God. We didn't, you know, we didn't expect it. So I had a feeling where this one was going, but all right, whatever. All right, anyway, all right, so where did we leave off here? It's always something nice to hear. Lovely people out there. Okay. Well, all right, Melissa, we were talking about
series and families and brothers and sisters and how they still act the same from when they're 10 to when they're 30.
Yep. Could be. Well, that was one of them, right? So we just answered their question.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, all right. Let's see. There's no more questions, right? Yeah. Bound to happen, right? The next, our guest for tomorrow night, John, is in there, and he's on tomorrow. John M. L. Augustine, and he'll be on with Brenda Palin. I didn't say the right name. Yeah, I did. Right, anyway, so. That's going to be a good show tomorrow. And, William, is there something you want to talk about before you leave? Because you're probably hungry now because you probably didn't even eat dinner, did you?
I probably didn't eat dinner. Look, all I can do is I can mention a couple of the romance novels that I have out there. Since this is a romance novel, this is a romance program I can stick with.
Well, you can
talk
about whatever you want. You also have a gluten-free diet book out there.
Oh, yeah. I have a gluten-free diet. I have a vegan diet book that's about to come out. And I have a couple of wine books. And,
now, are you a vegan or no? Are you a vegan or no?
No. I'm not a vegan
but that's a good thing because a lot of people are now.
No, I have a niece and her family who are gluten allergic. So I wrote the book with her because I thought that it was a book that should get out there. And since I have the
what
contact,
is the title of the new book that you're putting out, so we know?
Which who?
The new one, the vegan book. The vegan book.
Oh, the vegan book is get real. It's vegan desserts. Get real vegan desserts. It's the vegan food sort of thing. And that's going to be coming out soon. I was just going to be Matador Mon Ami or Mi Amor, which is my Matador romance. My Africa Spice Island Love is my first of my seven continent romance series for Pippa's out there. Dare to Love in Oz, my Australian novel, is out from Savant. And Fraia's Cauldron, which is another romance, is out from.
Well, no wonder you don't have time to do marketing. How could you do marketing?
Yeah, I mean, yes, there you have it. So, I mean, yes, I'm sorry. So that's, plus there's,
send me the link to the show. Right, they'll have to listen to the show because there is music on there. And it's fun. And I do have a lot of vampire, I was going to say vampire friends, but I have a lot of friends that like vampire things. So we'll.
Vampires, be sure and have them read William Maltese's Flicker, my vampire series.
Okay.
Book one, Book of Answers is out, as well as Sucks.
Okay. All right. I'll have to be happy with my little group of vampires because I have very good.
I have four musketeers
that come on and they do a lot of these things. Okay.
Your best bet is to just go to Amazon and try and weed your way through and find something to find. Or I just, So.
And did you say you had a degree in marketing? Is this a marketing technique? Just go to Amazon.
I have a degree in marketing advertising.
You do so many things; it's unbelievable. Your chocolate company,
I never,
all of this.
Yeah, so I have to be careful, or I can monopolize the program. So I just try and stay back.
You have been on a long. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. And let's see, Bethany. There you are. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Anything more you want to say? How do you feel? Because you weren't feeling good.
Yeah, I feel better. I feel better. And I just want to say that my first release was Mr. Thursday Night out in March. It is interracial romance, and I am very proud of him.
And
my second one came out in July, Simple Seduction, and the third one, Curiosity, is coming out the 17th, which is also an interracial romance.
And you are writing other things, and you're on these shows. And so, yes, and you're continuing on these shows. Okay, and you sound much better, so you feel better. I'm glad.
Yeah,
okay. There's a lot of people, a lot of people sick right now. To get
celebrated. I'm kind of going around.
And, and tomorrow we will, anybody that's on the show tonight, if they want to come on tomorrow, feel free to call in. And I don't know, a lot of people, I do have a feeling people couldn't get in here. And so I think what I will do is tell anybody that's coming on tomorrow to come on at the same time. I think we'll have to probably do that. You know, the first time I ever tried to do that, I never did that before where I said come in, at the end. So we'll have to tell everybody to come in at the beginning, So but tomorrow will be a very interesting side of romance, the other side, when there's a little problems and it's not all perfect. So, yes, I mean, it should be interesting because these are two books that are nonfiction romance. Actually, Homewrecker is fiction based on a true story, and actually Love Scene from Hell is a nonfiction romance, which is, we've not had that before, so I think that will be very interesting. And so anybody is welcome to come on the show that has books if they want to just email me or call me, but not the caller that called in. He's not, cannot come on the show. And he cannot come on any of the shows. And so I want to thank everybody, and I think it's been fun. Bobby, is it still there?
Yes,
he's still here.
Okay, Bobby, thank you for joining us, and you do so well, and you have so much going on, and you're always good. Yes, and you're always good because you tell everybody just how you get out there. I mean, you are an example of that, and that's a good thing.
Well, I'm old, but I'm still working.
Well, we do not. Age is nothing on this show. We have no ages.
That's true.
We are all.
That's
this is
true.
Purely a fantasy. We have no ages. We just
absolutely.
Out. We just came from heaven and sit. We don't have no
that's
ages.
Right. And we'll be here forever.
That's right. What is age? Age is really nothing. My grandmother was like 101 when she died, and she always never wanted to talk about her age. And I guess I see why, because it doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
What our age was, and so, we live as long as we live, and we hope that, we keep going on, with good health. And so, all right, anybody have any last words, or is it my last words? It's just going to be good night. And
I have none.
I thank everybody for being on the show and all the people that have made, World of Network, really very successful. Virginia and I are always happy about that because we have so many new people listening and we have archives. So it's really been good, and thank you all. And Beth and Hayne, I will see you tomorrow night. See you tomorrow night, and we'll continue on, and we'll be liking and tagging for tomorrow, but I probably need to do this again, not be liking and tagging for a while. I need to rest. I need to do some rest. All right, I'm going to play a little music to get us out of here. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Nice meeting everybody.